life using the Islamic faith. Audience will be Christian. Idea is that we want to be inspired by listening to Muslims living their life using their faith, Islam. So that's what's going to happen tomorrow.
It's a very good project.
Yes, you know, it's a big, we call it experience of Muslim life. Experience, how they experience Muslim life. So it's a project. This association is about 33 years old. We are members of that Islamic Studies Association.
My name is Victor Edwin. I'm doing my PhD in Christian-Muslim relations in Jamia Millia Islamia. I have met you some time ago. I'm studying the Jesuit priests, Catholic priests' contribution to Christian-Muslim relations in India. Studying the works of three Jesuits, Victor Courtois, Christian Troll, and Paul Jackson. That's my work. And also as a member of Islamic Studies Association, I help out in its activities, meeting Muslims, listening to them, discussing with them, learning from them. That's how I look at my work.
Are you a Jesuit?
Yes, I'm a Jesuit. Yes.
Both of us are Jesuits.
All are Jesuits?
No.
There is a very good friend of mine. He's a Jesuit. Dr. Christian Troll.
Yes, he's coming in April.
He's a good friend of mine.
He's coming in April. For April. Jesuits working.
Jesuits among Muslims.
Among Muslims. There is an international conference, Jesuits Among Muslims, in April, in Delhi. Christian Troll is coming.
Very good. Very good. Good news.
Yes, I'm sure he'll meet you.
So you, perhaps you know him well?
Yes. Not that well, but I know him, yes.
Then?
I am Manju. I am a social activist. I was working among the Muslims in Bareilly, UP, the poor Muslims, for 10 years. I stayed with a Muslim family and I was working with them. I went because I found them much more backward in the sense, lack of education, lack of other privileges. So I was among them for 10 years and that made me get associated with this group. To get to know about Islam, about Muslims from a different perspective. What I was getting from them is very limited knowledge because they understand Islam also from a very different perspective. So in that way I was associated with this association from 2000 onwards.
Fine. I am Anbu. I don't belong to the Jesuit group, but I belong to another group called the SVDs. I am my studies in Islam. I did my MA from Aligarh Muslim University and I did my doctorate from Jamia Millia. My professor is sitting in front of me. Right now, I was in Delhi for 12 years, basically involved in interreligious dialogue and other ministries. I have met you in that connection a number of times and we have also invited you for some of our meetings when I was here in Delhi. Right now, I am working in Bhopal. We have a seminary where we train students to become priests. So I basically teach Christian-Muslim relations, also connected with other religions. And we try to expose them to other situations where they can also inculcate such values in them. So that's what basically I'm involved with. And I'm the secretary of this association, Islamic Studies Association.
And then...
I am Sister Gracie. I am part of this association. I am doing my master's in our scriptures in Vidyajyoti. And I am also interested in interreligious dialogue ministry, so I am part of the group here. And I have had a chance of meeting you at Islamic Culture Center when the ICP had conducted a discussion. And I have read your books through Father Anbu, so that's how I...
You are attached to Vidyajyoti?
I'm studying Atithi Jyoti.
I am Bob Bhai, a Christian missionary working in Bangladesh. And I was at the original meeting at which this association was started. And so since then, my interest has been very keen to remain with them, even though I'm in Bangladesh, and they've been very good in keeping me close to the association. I simply live with the poor and help their children to get physical treatment, a sign of love and a sign of acceptance, of trying to demonstrate the respect that Christians have for Islam and Hinduism.
For the subject of your dress of all, you is one of the same?
Yes.
Good. And she is my granddaughter.
Yes.
And he is my colleague, Maulana Rahat Sahib.
Maria.
She is Maria. She is also granddaughter. And she is
daughter.
My daughter. Perhaps you know her.
Yes,
we have met her. Both of them in Hyderabad. We were in Hyderabad together.
Yes.
Wishing peace in the society, how from your part you have you are known for establishing peace in the society. You are a respected Muslim scholar. So maybe what will be your opinion about peace and the society, how we can involve ourselves in this ministry?
I can say that I am a born pacifist. Peace is my special subject, because I discovered after my study that peace is the summum bonum. Western people believe that freedom is the summum bonum, but I don't agree with this concept. Freedom is not summum bonum. Peace is the summum bonum, greatest good. Because without peace, there is no progress, no normal activities, religious and secular both. Unfortunately, Muslims don't know the value of peace. Muslims don't know the value of peace. They know value of jihad. Some are actively engaged in jihad, some are passively. But according to my study, peace is the greatest concern of Islam. Also, peace is the greatest concern of all those people who are sincere, want to bring about some real change in society. But the question is, how to establish peace? Perhaps everyone is interested in peace, but the basic question is, how to establish peace? According to my knowledge, the general perception in this regard is that peace cannot be established without justice. So first of all, you have to establish justice, then you can achieve peace. This is the Muslim mind everywhere. If you go to Palestine or any other country, including Pakistan and Iran, they will say that give us justice, then you will give peace. But this kind of thinking is quite unnatural. According to my experience, justice is not part of peace. No. Justice is part of your own capacity to avail the opportunities. So first of all, you have to establish peace, and peace will open the doors of opportunities. And then you find a chance to avail those opportunities. After availing these opportunities, you can establish peace. So these people try to, those who want to break it, justice with peace, they are trying to put the cart before the horse. This is my way of thinking.
What is the role of forgiveness? Forgiveness in establishing peace. I mean, everybody is wounding one another, no matter who they are. You know. So forgiveness to those who hurt you. Is this one essential way of establishing peace? And of course, you mentioned the other one, justice. You know. They feel they have some very serious injustice, this is true, has been done. So they want first justice and then peace. So you are saying first peace, then justice. Justice will result. So I'm asking, could forgiveness pave a way to peace?
Maybe you're right, but my language is quite different. I always use the word avoidance rather than forgiveness. Avoidance is a general principle. Even you are driving your car, you have to avoid, otherwise there is accident. So forgiveness is very good, but in regard of peace, I would say that you have to avoid confrontation. You have to know this secret of this wisdom, this secret of life, that peace or any other, this is for human rights, they are cannot, you cannot break it, these things with peace. Peace can be established only on the formula of peace for the sake of peace. Peace for the sake of peace. If you break it anything else with peace, then peace is impossible. Peace becomes impossible. This is my experience. If you want to any reference in Islam in favor of this concept, I would refer Hudaybiyah agreement. You know, Prophet wanted to establish peace, but there were so many problems. His companions wanted to solve those problems first. For example, they were not ready to permit companions to go Mecca for Hajj and Umrah. So this kind of prohibition by the great Tamil power for his companions. There are some other problems. So, Prabhupada's companion wanted to solve these problems first. Then establish peace. Prabhupada said no. Prabhupada accepted all their conditions unilaterally. Then there was peace agreement. Hudaybiyah agreement was peace agreement. But Hudaybiyah agreement became possible only when Prophet agreed, when he accepted all those conditions of the other party. So there is a verse in the Quran, As-sulhu khair. As-sulhu khair means peace at any cost. Peace at any cost. So after long study, I have discovered that peace is the basis of all kind of activities. If there is no peace, we cannot hear sit in a peaceful atmosphere. So educational activity and NGO activities of NGOs and religious activities, all the activities can be done smoothly in an atmosphere where there is peace. So peace is first, which is the basis of all kind of constructive activities. So I always say that peace is a samvanam, peace is the greatest good, and we have to adopt this formula, peace for the sake of peace, without any condition. This is Islamic formula. It was my invention. This I discovered from Islam.
Has a spiritual foundation. That attitude is very spiritual. Not political and all that, but it is spiritual. You know. The foundation is spiritual. So then only you can say peace for peace. No conditions. No conditions. I mean, for the Prophet to accept all the conditions of the other one for the sake of peace. Well, that's not very easy to do. So he did that.
The choice is between either you have to accept peace without condition or there is no peace at all. Without accepting any all the conditions of other party, there is no peace. So the choice is not between any peace and justice, any peace and peace for the sake of choice is not between peace for the sake of peace and peace with justice. It's not such choice. This is not choice. In peace for the sake of peace and peace with justice. This is not the choice. Either you have to establish peace as peace for the sake of peace or there is no peace at all. This by also I discovered this study history. I never found any society in the world or in the history who was able to establish peace with justice. No. This kind of condition, peace with justice, only leads to war, to fighting. Not to peace. You know, all the Palestinians, all the Arabs believe in this formula, peace with justice, peace with justice. They say, As-salam mal-adil. But they are fighting from
More than 60 years?
Several thousand years.
But more than 60 years? But they fail to find anything. But they lose everything. They never gain anything. Because this is impossible. This is not practical. Peace with justice for Bulai. Very beautiful. When you say peace with justice, very beautiful. It seems to be a beautiful problem. But it is not practicable. Not practicable.
If justice is not given importance, if it is sort of neglected, it gives it give an impression that the world today, you know, where we live, we are not giving importance to our life here on earth. More of trying to somehow manage this world with just for peace, but not giving more adequate attention to today's crises, exploitation and violence. So how do you think about that?
According to my experience, ideal peace cannot be achieved. It is impossible to have ideal peace. No, it is impossible. And never it was achieved. So I believe in workable peace instead of ideal peace. First, and second is that people wrongly bracket justice with peace. No. Justice can be achieved only through your ability to avail the opportunities. For example, I enjoy complete peace in India. Although there are so many Muslims in India who are negative about India, they always talk in negative terms. We are under siege, and India is here are discrimination with Muslims, and there are communal riots and so on. So they are not living in peace. They are living in tension, in hate, and in revenge. But I have no such feelings. I live it with complete peace of mind. And this made me able to avail those opportunities that were present in India. Due to my peaceful mind, I discovered those opportunities. For example, I will tell you one example. I think India is a unique nation, very unique nation. Only Indian people believe in the concept of manyness of reality. It is a very unique concept.
Manyness of reality.
Manyness of reality. You know, Swami Vivekananda declared in Chicago Conference in 1893 that all the results are true. It means that I am true and you are so true. All the other religions believe that I am true or you are not true. They believe in oneness of reality. But Indian people believe in manyness of reality. Mm-hmm. This word was used by Gandhi. Mm-hmm. By Gandhi. So it gives me a room to work for my religion. This kind of opportunity is upset any other country. Is it clear?
Mm-hmm. Dada, I think he had a slightly different question. His question was, if I got it correctly, was that if you say that don't join justice with peace, then you are denying people a life of honor. Is that what your question was?
So I said that you are thinking in terms of ideal justice. That is my baseline. That is not my concept. If you think in terms of ideal justice, then you will feel that I'm denied with justice. But I believe that ideal justice is impossible. Only workable justice is possible. So I am enjoying workable justice. In every country, you can enjoy workable justice. In every country, even in Israel, in Russia, in China.
Justice in the form of opportunities.
Huh?
We will find opportunities due to our peaceful living. We will find opportunities, and by availing which we can find justice on our own. Not others will not give you justice, ideal justice.
Yeah. My point is that according to my definition of justice is that only workable justice is achievable.
Yeah.
Ideal justice is not achievable. So according to my formula, in every place workable justice is achievable. So I think that no one need to be to live it in with this mind that I was denied of justice, because workable justice is given to you.
What is workable justice?
But when there is lot of discrimination, injustice done to people, then how do you explain this workable justice? Because discrimination leads to injustice, or because we are all created to live in dignity and respect. When that is denied, injustice is done to the person. So how do you explain this workable justice there?
Dada, he kehriye hain ki when injustice is done to you, injustice and discrimination, then how do you explain workable justice?
Injustice is not very injustice itself is a not well defined term. It's not well defined term. What is injustice?
Discrimination.
For example, let us take Indian. Indian complaint in Muslims complaint in India. They said that we are denying justice, or they give example that that during communal riots, police acts against us. But according to my knowledge, In every case, Muslims are to be blamed. They say it is injustice. I said, no. You are paying the price of your stupid policies. So what Muslims are saying injustice, I say that it is price of stupid policies. In every case, I have examined that Muslim adopted stupid policies. And that led to some police action. Is it clear?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So I think if there is peace first, it brings about a conversion of heart, which also brings then justice. In other words, peace, I get converted by that, but your willingness to remove some of the conditions, and then that brings also justice. So it is the pathway to justice also.
Hmm. That is what he said actually, that it will lead to justice.
Lead to justice.
Exactly.
Dada, he's saying what he's agreeing with what you said, that peace will lead to justice. Aapne jo kaha tha ki peace will
lead. My basic point is that justice, the concept of justice is not well defined. It is not well defined. It is very vague term. For example, in India, I feel that I am enjoying justice in complete sense of the word. But if you meet other Muslim leaders, they will say, no, you are not enjoying justice. You are facing injustice. So justice and injustice both are not well-defined terms. It is your perception that determines that you are living in justice or injustice or injustice. Is it clear? I never complained that in India I was denied justice, denied of justice. No. I believe by heart that I enjoy justice in India. Even I say that India is better than all other countries. You know, there are 58 Muslim countries. I have visited all these countries. I say that in India is better than all these Muslim countries because of my definition of justice. In Muslim countries, I don't hope that I will find justice, because in Muslim countries there is extremism. In every Muslim country, extremism. So they are not ready to listen against their point of view. In India, there is openness. India, there is openness, tolerance. So, according to my definition of justice, I am enjoying justice in India, and I have no complaint at all.
Yes.
Is it clear?
I want to ask, when I speak or share with my friends, Christian, my community, I say that dialogue with Islam, Muslims is very important. It's not only possible, but it is essential for working together, for working for the nation building. Some of my friends bring up this issue of apostasy in Islam. Their view is that some of the Muslim countries where in conscience someone wants to become a Christian, or in conscience someone wants to become another religion. So there's a lot of state-sponsored oppression is there. So how it somehow doesn't help for the Christian-Muslim dialogue, because they hold the view that in the Christian, especially Catholic theology, conscience is important. If one wants to become a Muslim, in his conscience, his conscience and his decisions should be respected. Whereas this particular position is not respected by all Muslims. A lot of, especially countries like West Asia, a lot of difficulties are there. So this is one of the major roadblock many of the Christian members who are interested in dialogue find difficult to deal with.
He said you were apostasy.
Ji.
I will give you answer from the Quran. Please wait for a minute. Maria, ek ayat nikalo. وَمَيْ اَتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ رَيْ دَال دَال مِنْ نِكَالُ فَيَمُتْ وَمَيْ اَتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوْ كَافِرٌ وَمَيْ اَتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوْ كَافِرٌ تو آپا کا ٹرانسلیشن نکالو
2217 Dada, whoever of you turns back from his faith and dies as a denier of the truth.
My point is that apostasy means irtidad in Islam. Irtidad. Apostasy is totally an innovated concept. That is bid'ah. You cannot find any single verse in the Quran that one who commits apostasy will be punished, capital punishment. No, not at all. Mm-hmm. This Quranic verse tells you that if one abandoned Islam and he dies, then God Almighty will ask him in the hereafter. So according to this verse, he will die by natural death. There is no capital punishment. So capital punishment was act of fuqaha in later period, that is Abbasid period. After there are about 200 years. So it has no sanction in the Quran. I have published a book on this concept that apostasy or irtidad and the punishment for apostasy is not Islamic. It's quite un-Islamic. There's total freedom in Islam. Everyone is free to opt for any creed. From Shafa Limun, from Shafa Yakfur. If one, and everyone is free to opt for his belief. And if someone, abandons Islam, then he is also free to live till his natural death. You can see this verse. You could go. Number, ayat number, verse number?
Verse number, chapter number 2, verse number 217.
You can see this if you want.
Yes, I will note that one.
A verse of Portugal school. Once again.
Whoever of you turns back from his faith and dies as a denier of the truth will have his deeds come to nothing in this world and the hereafter, and he will be an inhabitant of the fire to abide therein forever.
In this Quranic verse, here Quran uses the same term, itadad, ummay yatadid minkum an deeni. Same word that was used by fuqaha. But Quran never says that he will be punished, he will be given capital punishment. That was invented by fuqaha. And I don't believe in fuqaha. I believe in Quran. And Quran and Sunnah. Fuqaha was product of apostate period when there was a Muslim empire. So this was empire's requirement, emperor's requirement. During Muslim empire, this kind of law was legislated. Is it clear? I published a book, but it is now with Urdu, in Urdu. So both the apostasy and blasphemy, both are innovation. Apostasy and blasphemy both are innovation. That is bid'ah. It has no sanction in the Quran or Hadith.
Hadith also no sanction.
I published a book on this subject. Shak mein Rasool ka masala. So I always say that I am not advocate of Muslims. I am advocate of Islam. I differentiate between Islam and Muslims.
Important distinction. An important distinction.
I always say, but you have to differentiate between Islam and Muslims. You have to judge Muslims in the light of Islamic teachings and not vice versa. Even among Christians, you have to differentiate between Christian community and New Testament. Both are not one the same. If you agree,
yes.
But as far as the Islam is concerned, I always say that Muslim and Islam both are different.
I think this can be said probably for all religions. It's a big difference between what is there in the original and what is actually practiced by several others. You know, there's a big difference, gap there.
But the
my greatest, any, I can say that my greatest strength is that I always live in peace of mind. Why? Because I never complained that I was denied, justice was denied to me, this and that. I think that when only workable justice is possible, I enjoy that justice. So why complain? Yes, Adi? Is it clear? If I enjoy workable justice, then why complain? Huh?
Practical and a spiritual way of living. It is spiritual. But it is very practical. You enjoy peace and wellness. I think you are well because of this attitude. Yes, that's very good.
Another thing, you see, we made a distinction between workable justice and ideal justice. Can we say, close our eyes and say this ideal justice is impossible to achieve and therefore we can just neglect that? Or we should also make some effort to make ideal justice also workable justice?
Okay.
One way, according to me, listening to Sahab also, maybe just peace. Maybe through peace, the ideal justice can also become workable justice. I do not know.
Dada, he's asking, he understands the difference between workable justice and ideal justice, but he's asking that while we enjoy workable justice, can we work towards achieving ideal justice?
Yeah.
That is impossible. According to Islam, also according to the Christianity, we are here put on test. And man was born free, because without freedom there is no test. God Almighty has created us as free creature, because without freedom there was no test. So when people are free, they are also free to misuse their freedom. It's a bit logical. If people are free, they are also free to misuse their freedom. So when this is the situation, some people are bound to misuse their freedom, and that will make it possible to establish ideal peace. According to creation plan of God, ideal peace is not any in the creation plan of God. In the Quran, there is no such verse. You have to establish ideal peace. No, not at all. It was innovated by some Muslim thinkers like Sayyid Qutb. He has published a book, Al-Adalatu Ijtimaiya fil Islam, Social Justice in Islam. In this book, he advocates that we have to establish ideal peace. But it is his own concept. It is not Islamic concept.
Is that clear?
When God Almighty has given us freedom, then how you can establish ideal peace? A single person, if misuses his freedom, he can kill Indira Gandhi, he can kill Mahatma Gandhi, he can kill Raju Gandhi. So ideal justice is not achievable. Only workable justice is achievable. According to Islam and also according to the reason. Is it clear?
Since ideal peace cannot be achieved, should we talk about ideal peace at all, or just remove it from the whole understanding?
Dada, he's saying, since ideal peace is
ideal
not
since
ideal justice is not achievable, should we even stop talking about it? Should we even not talk about it?
Yes, it is a valid point. But I would say that ideal justice is not very good for man. I don't believe that ideal justice is anything good. Why? Because if there were ideal justice, then there is no challenge. No challenge, no competition, no difference. That will stop the intellectual development, the process of intellectual development. So when there is injustice, inequality, so all these things are very good in terms of challenge, in establishing ideal peace. Tantamount to abolish challenge. And if you abolish challenge from your society, it means that you have abolished development. Here I would like to remind the theory of Arnold Toynbee. Arnold Toynbee has published a book that is perhaps in 12 volume, Study of History. In this book, he has established this concept that the law of nature is based on this mechanism, challenge-response mechanism. There are challenge, then there is response, then this mechanism leads to progress. I completely agree with this concept. So if you were able to establish ideal peace, that means that you have abolished the challenge. So then what is the value of this ideal justice? This kind of justice has no value, because challenge is very important for all kind of sub-progress in the religious field, in a secular field both. Is it clear?
I want to ask about, coming back to Christian-Muslim relations, you have contacts with many Christian leaders who are interested in interfaith dialogue, Christian-Muslim relations. What do you see as a common ground where we can understand each other better and work together for nation, work together for peace?
Common ground between Christian and Muslims? That is a very good common ground. Jesus Christ has said, love your enemy. Love your enemy. The same teaching was given in the Quran. لَا تَسْتَبِي الْحَسْنَةُ وَلَسْتَيَّةُ اِتْفَى بِالَّتِّهِ يَسَنْ فَيَذَا الَّذِي بَانِكُ بُنِ وَضَعَوَا كَنِّ وَلِيُنَ مِنْ. It means that do good deed in turn for bad deed, and you will find that your enemy has become your dearest friend. So it means that every enemy is your potential friend, to turn this potential to actual. Here is a very good kind of common ground.
What's the verse?
Dada, wo verse bata dijiye phir se. Do you want the wording of the verse?
What?
Reference.
41. 41.
Love your enemy.
41.
41:34.
Love your enemy. I love this phrase. I always quote this saying. Love your enemy. Best. I sent the best formula. I never found any formula better than this. Love your enemy. Why I love this formula? Because this is the only formula that can make you that can give you positive thinking. When you believe that there is no enemy, that means that you can live in positivity, and positive thinking is most important in life. Negative thinking is greatest evil, and positive thinking is the greatest good. And this formula is the only formula that can give you positive thinking.
It reads, good and evil deeds are not equal. Repel evil with what is better. Then you will see that one who was once your enemy has become your dearest friend.
Number.
41:34. you interpret this verse is something like love your enemies. I have been reflecting on this common ground, something which strikes me, how I understand, I'd like to say, so please comment upon that. I think, of course, I like the way you have responded to this question. I think Christians striving to do God's will in their life and Muslims striving to do God's will, that seems to be a common ground for me. What would be your response to it?
Dada, keh rahe hain ki inki jo study hai, his study reveals to him, this is what he has understood, that one common ground between Muslims and Christians is that both of them try to work for the cause of God.
Do God's will.
They strive for God's work.
This concept is well defined. It is very difficult.
Something like, no, for an example.
But what I am saying, it is well defined. My concept is a well-defined concept, but what you are saying, that is not a well-defined concept. Although it can serve as a common ground, but I would say that it is a well-defined. Muslim man explained in some other way.
God's will.
Because concept of God is, there is difference between concept of God. Some differences you know. So that will lead to some contention. But what I am saying, it is very well defined, there is no contention. I have participated in so many dialogue and some trilogue also. I found that Muslims are not competent to participate in such dialogue, because Muslims always try to establish their point of view. So they begin from differences. So I have discovered this point, love or enemy. Here is no contention. Both can easily agree that it is very good. Yeah? Because the concept of prophethood, concept of God, there are some differences. So I think that cannot serve as a common ground. There is some difficulties.
Christians have the same problem. They think they want to prove it to the Muslims that they are right. It's both have the same problem.
Common differences, maybe. Dada, he keh rahe hain ki Christians also have the same problem. They also try to establish their superiority first.
As far as myself concerned, I have no problem.
Common ground.
Not at all. I have no. I don't believe in sense of superiority.
Yeah.
I don't believe that some religion are superior, some are inferior. No, not at all. I never talk this term. कभी ऐसा कहता हूँ? कभी
नहीं.
That is not my way of thinking. No, superiority and inferiority concept are both are innovation. Then you cannot find a single verse in the Quran that Islam is superior religion. Islam is superior religion. It's alien in the Quran. This concept is alien in the Quran.
Muslims think that their prophet is the most superior.
No, God. Prophet is superior.
I think all of us think that when everyone's religion is the best.
Yeah.
All of us think. Think my family is best than the other family.
I am the best and my religion is the best.
Yes.
Then we can go beyond that. There is a common ground where we can start working.
So mine is the best shop.
Maybe you could help me with one little thing.
we're talking about love in the Quran, as in the New Testament. It seems to me that in our religion it's very, very forcefully hit, love your enemies, as you say. What is the, I've read through the Quran a couple of times, but it's not really the Quran, it's the translation of the Quran. I can only read it in English. Love is never mentioned in the translations that I have read in the Quran, in Pikthal's translation, maybe another translation. I've read several. So what is the, how is it possible that we can talk about love as encouraged by the Quran? Or is there something else in the Quran that replaces love that is central to the Islamic faith?
Dada, his question is that love in Christianity is very forcefully taught, or it has a very dominant place in Christianity, love. But he says that whatever he has read of the Quran, or he's read several translations, but he has never found love in the Quran, the idea of love.
The idea, not the word.
The word of love. The word of love.
Word of.
What is the concept which replaces love if it is not mentioned?
Huh?
What is there? In its place.
Dada, his first question is that he has never found the word love in the
Quran. You are right. But Quran uses another word, that is nusar nasir. That means well-wisher.
It means what?
Well-wisher.
Well-wisher.
Well-wisher. So,
well-wish.
Well-wisher.
Lover, well-wisher.
Yeah.
That is, in the same sense, you have to love your neighbors. Or Islam tells us that you have to be well-wisher of your neighbor. You have to adopt any friendly behavior. Well-wisher to all. You are right that love word is not used in the Quran,
yeah.
But well-wishing is used.
Is there a reference to that? Is it once or twice, or when does it appear?
That's the reference, Pooja.
Tell sir. Inilukum nasa. Inilukum nasa. 760.
Thanks.
Or is it equated to service? Because I have heard in Quran so many times service to God and service to neighbor is mentioned. So whether it is in that connection, love is replaced by service to neighbor or service to God?
Dada ji puch rahi hai ki, one, you said that well-wishing replaces the word love. She's asking, does service in the Quran replace love? Service to mankind or service to God?
Service is quite different. Okay. No. Vibhishing is a... Vibhishing means... it's the act of heart. Service is quite different. That's a social concept. Service is a social concept, but well-wishing is an act of heart.
There is a tradition of the Prophet that Angel Gabriel, stressed so much for the rights of neighbors that he thought that he will one day say that the neighbors have a part, have a share in your property also. There are so many traditions.
नहीं मिला किसा आपको नहीं मिला
मैं I am a sincere and honest advisor.
Sincere and honest advisor.
तो नासे का
हाँ नासे का
नहीं well wishing.
This is amazing though. What you just said occurs to me that when we define love, we ask what is love, and one of the answers always given is to wish the welfare of another. So, what you just said, well wishing and love, are very parallel, very similar. What is love? Wishing of the welfare, working for it also, but wishing it first of all.
Advising you truly and well.
देखो उसका ट्रांसलेशन हमने लिखा है सर आई पब्लिश एन आर्टिकल ऑन सब्जेक्ट द करेक्ट ट्रांसलेट ऑफ नासिर वेल विश अकॉर्डिंग टू एनी अरबिक डिक्शनरी
इट आल्सो गिव्स मी एन अंडरस्टैंडिंग दैट देयर इज अ काइंड ऑफ द मुस्लिम्स व्हेन दे रीड द बाइबल दे ऑलवेज से दे हियर लव 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 बट इट इज ओनली अबाउट प्रिंसिपल्स आइडियल्स But when you read the Holy Quran, Quran is a book of directives. Probably the understanding of well-wishing, wish others well, this is a directive, practical way of life. While the Bible speaks about love, which is more on principle, ideal.
Ideal.
Yeah, so I think there is some truth in...
Ideal and practical.
Yeah.
Kya kare?
Dada ye keh rahe hain ki Muslims often say, the Bible gives principles of life, like love mankind. On the other hand, the Quran, this is what Muslims claim, gives directives.
No, this is wrong. It is wrong. No. Well-wishing is very important teaching of the Quran. There is a problem. Many Christians have authentic version?
Authentic.
Many other than text, they have also authentic version. But in Islam, the problem that other than text, we have no authentic translation. No translation is authentic. So, but I have researched, and after research, I published an article. That Nasir literally means well-wishing, not sincere. We have no authentic version. It is other than Arabic text. This is a problem. This difference sometimes creates problem. Har aadmi apna apna tajruba kar raha hai. Apna apna tajruba kar raha hai.
So we are very, very grateful for this time you have given us.
Very glad you've come.
A ramps of light has come. So, a little more understanding of one another. Thank you.